Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, where for a while he sat down and wept. But at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the settle, there he espied his roll, the which he with trembling and haste catched up and put into his bosom. But who can tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill! Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian, and this made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance, and thus he again began to condole with himself.
Oh, thou sinful sleep, how for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of the doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep.
Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous had told him of, how they were frighted with the sight of the lions. Then said Christian to himself again,
these beasts range in the night for their prey. And if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I shift them? How should I escape being by them torn in pieces?
Thus he went on his way. But while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lift up his eyes. Behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful, and it stood just by the highway side. Now I saw in my dream that he made haste and went forward, that if possible he might get lodging there. Now before he had gone far, he entered into a very narrow passage, which was about a furlong off the porter's lodge. And looking very narrowly before him as he went, he espied two lions in the way.
Now I see the dangers that Mistrust and Timorous were driven back by.
The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains. Then he was afraid, and thought also himself to go back after them. For he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying,
is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained and are placed there for trial of faith where it is, and for discovery of those that had none. Keep in the midst of the path. No hurt shall come unto thee.
Then I saw that he went on, trembling for fear of the lions, but taking good heed to the directions of the porter. He heard them roar, but they did him no harm. Then he clapped his hands and went on till he came and stood before the gate where the porter was. Then said Christian to the porter,
sir, what house is this? And may I lodge here tonight?
This house was built by the Lord of the Hill, and he built it for the relief and security of pilgrims.
The porter also asked him whence he was and whither he was going.
I am come from the city of destruction and am going to Mount Zion, but because the sun is now set, I desire, if I may, to lodge here tonight.
What is your name?
My name is now Christian, but my name at the first was Graceless. I came of the race of Japheth, whom God will persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem.
But how doth it happen that you come so late? The sun is set.
I had been here sooner, but that wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbor that stands on the hillside. Nay, I had, notwithstanding that, been here much sooner, but that in my sleep I lost my evidence, and came without it to the brow of the hill, and then, feeling for it, and finding it not, I was forced with sorrow of heart to go back to the place where I slept my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will call out one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you into the rest of the family, according to the rules of the house.
So Watchful the porter rang a bell, at the sound of which came out at the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why she was called.
This man is in a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion, but being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call for thee. who, after discourse had with him, mayest do as seemeth thee good, even according to the law of the house.
Then she asked him whence he was, and whither he was going, and he told her. She asked him also how he got into the way, and he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way, and he told her. And at last she asked his name. So he said,
It is Christian, and I have so much the more a desire to lodge here tonight, because, by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims.
So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. And after a little pause, she said,
I will call forth two or three more of the family.
So she ran to the door and called out Prudence, Piety, and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family. And many of them, meeting him at the threshold of the house, said,
Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the Hill on purpose to entertain such pilgrims in.
Then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. So when he was come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink, and consented together that, until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular discourse with Christian for the best improvement of time. And they appointed Piety and Prudence and Charity to discourse with him, and thus they began.
Come.
Go back there to page 45. Was that helpful just to hear it that way and get a little acclimated? I know it takes a little longer, but I think they do a good job with that, and it's pretty exact with the text, so that's great. Anything on page 45 or 46 that stood out to you? You wanted to comment on or ask about? He was having to do this part of the journey in what kind of conditions? He was extra tired because he had to double back and it was dark. Is it harder to go on any journey if you're tired? And is it harder if it's in the dark or nearing dark? Yes. Was that anybody's fault besides Christians? No. See, don't we have a tendency to want to blame somebody if we're meeting with less than ideal circumstances? Aren't Americans just like the world's worst at that? I'm an American. I deserve to have red carpet treatment all the time, you know. My French fries were a little bit overdone, you know. It's just crazy. You read in the news that somebody didn't get the order perfect and they had it thrown in the face. You know, they climb over the counter and beat up the person. It's just ridiculous how we have come to think about our rights. That if anything is slightly contrary, you know, we're going to sue. We demand a full refund. We're going to call the Better Business Bureau. We're going to do something. Right? Very sad. And that creeps into the church, unfortunately. The reason his circumstances were not ideal were of his own doing. And often, if we would stop a little bit, think and recognize, we would realize, you know what, this is such a little thing. I can just absorb it. I don't need to comment. I don't need to whine and complain. When I think of the living conditions of people around the world, really, I should just, you know, keep my mouth shut. He is a little apprehensive, isn't he? Because couple people previously told them as they were running down the hill, you don't want to go that way because up there is what? Lions. Oh, lions. I'm not afraid of lions. He didn't say dogs. He didn't say, you know, it gets a little spooky up there. There is that. But he said, there are lions. Okay. And were there lions up there? Yes, that wasn't somebody's exaggeration. There were real lions up there. Who is like a roaring lion seeking to devour us? Right? And his minions. And they can be very threatening and very intimidating and cause lots of people to just say, I'm out of here. That's it. Right? And as Christian got up to that, his steps started to do what? Remember he was like at the beginning, but as he gets, it's getting darker, he's hearing the growls, he can almost feel their bodies, he is taking tiny steps and he's beginning to think, I can look through and see this very, very wonderful place called what? No, can't see that yet. It was a palace, and its name was the Palace Beautiful. I can see if I could just get through here, I will be at a wonderful place, but can I accomplish that? And as he's hesitating, as he is debating in his mind, which we might think, well, that's terrible weakness. How many times of terrible weakness have we had? Something happens that enables him to proceed through. What was it? The porter, the doorkeeper, begins to call out to him and does what with his words? He encourages him. How many people have been an encouragement in your Christian life when you came to a sort of crossroads in your life and they were already on the other side of it and they were able to say, hey, I know what you're facing and this is what you need to keep in mind and don't quit and don't give up and stay in the center of the path. These lions are chained. Now, did he know they were chained? Could he see that they were chained? No. But somebody who was on the other side could tell him. And so is the ministry of encouraging another brother or sister important? It's hugely important. We just don't know what a few words from us might mean in the life of someone else. Our prayers for them. And so that porter's name, did you catch it? Is on the top of page 47. What was his name? Watchful. What did Jesus say we should be doing? Watch and pray. Is it just for ourselves? No, it's also for our brother and sister who are coming along behind us in time. You know, as we get to places, and as the Lord puts us in positions of service that we faithfully perform, one of them might be a word of encouragement. You know, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, right? He said, those lions are there to test your faith. To discover if you have it or not, basically. Did Timorous and his friend, what was his name? Mistrust. Timorous and Mistrust, did they have enough faith to make it through the lions? No, they didn't. They really weren't legitimate Christians, were they? They were some of these that had gotten onto the path, some shortcuts. But with a little encouragement from a watchful brother, Christian's faith was fortified to press on, and he got through. And he was able, without any harm, to get to the palace, beautiful. Now that palace, before we get there, is it wrong to be afraid? Is it a sin to be afraid? No. But is fear a gift from God? Is fear one of the fruits of the Spirit? No. So fear comes from another source. And so it's not necessarily wrong that fear is there, but to be ruled by fear, to be guided by fear. I don't mean the fear of the Lord, but personal fear. That's not good. We need to just cast that over on the Lord and say, Lord, I am afraid. But you said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And so I look to you, Lord. And then he comes to this building. This house was built by whom? By the Lord of the hill, right? Who, when they've said that expression over and over, who's the Lord of the hill? God, or, right? The same Lord that built the celestial city they're eventually trying to get to, all good places along the way and all good people along the way are there to provide strength and encouragement, relief and security that's mentioned here for Christians. Hasn't the Lord given us a lot of these sort of resources? Christian parents, Christian siblings, Christian extended family, the local church and the people that serve in various capacities there, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the access through prayer to God. There's just so many things. You think of Enoch all the way back to Genesis, early chapters, chapter 4, 5, right in there. Enoch walked with God. Did he have a local church? Did he have the Bible? Did he have the indwelling Holy Spirit? But Enoch walked with God. What's my excuse? Right? He walked with God so much that God said, get up here. And he didn't even die. No. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And other contemporary Christians in other parts of the world right now, they don't have the freedom to assemble. They may not have the scriptures in their own language. And yet, they are wonderfully faithful to the Lord so often. You notice that frequently here in the Pilgrim's Progress, when these different people meet one another, they want to know, what's your name? Where are you from? Where are you going? What's happened along the way? Who did you meet, you know? Almost invariably, that discussion comes up. And it almost gets a little tedious, but then you realize, you know, that's so important, because what they're doing is exchanging their testimony with one another. and they're learning from one another. And as Christian wants to come and dwell in this palace beautiful, is he just allowed to come in because he wants to come in? No. He has to say who he is and where he was from, and not only to watchful, but to discretion. It's interesting how she's the first one that meets is the virgin named Discretion, right? Do we need the quality, character quality of discretion in our life to make sure we make good choices, conduct ourselves in an appropriate way, maybe using discernment when we're meeting people and deciding whether we should be, you know, how close we can ally ourselves with them? Yeah. Very interesting. And so instead of talking about anything and everything under the sun except God when we meet one another, that should be something that comes up in our conversation. We do have a tendency, even in the church, even in our families, to just right here on the surface, just the fluffy stuff, right? It's hard to really get beyond that to something a little more sound, a little more meaty, but we should try. And as he is invited into the home, they sit down and they have quite a long conversation about the same sort of things, don't they? As a group. The four ladies and Christian, they're talking until it's time to eat. And so we see the hospitality. Does the Bible talk about hospitality? Yes. You know, putting somebody up for the night, caring about them and talking with them and sharing a meal with them. And later when it's time to go, they don't just say, good riddance. They pack him food for the road, and they go quite a bit on the journey with him. When I was in Africa, these people had nothing, but whatever they had, they would scrounge together to make a meal for me. I felt so bad eating it, but, you know, because I thought, you know, I don't want to take this food from you. You have so little, but they wouldn't hear of it. And they'd fix the best chicken or whatever it was running around the yard or whatever they might have and try to give you as much as you could pack away. And then if you were welcome to stay the night, and I would preach to them and teach with them, and we'd sing into the night. And then when it was time to go to the next village, they would go, some of them, with me. They wouldn't just say, don't forget to write. It was sure nice to have you. Man, thought he'd never go. You know, and it was like, oh, we don't want him to go. Let's go with him. We have forgotten some of that Oriental hospitality in our day and time. And we see that in this book here. It's really interesting. I liked how both watchful, two times he said, according to the law of the house, will let you in and let you do whatever according to the law of the house. So who do you think established the law of the house? Yeah, the Lord of the Hill, right? And those who were there were like, oh, he's not here. Let's just do whatever I want, whatever we want, right? Let's let in whoever we please. Let's, you know, if they have a good sob story, we'll fall for it and let them in. No, they're bound in their actions by the law of the house. This is the law of the house of God, isn't it? It's not up to us as pastors or deacons or trustees or Sunday school teachers or members to say, oh, we don't have to pay attention to that. That might have been fine in the past, but now we're smarter, we're more enlightened, we can let whoever we want in. Isn't the point to get them in? Isn't that the main priority? Get them in, get them in. Is it? It is in some churches. That's the only priority. Get as many in as possible. let's not worry about under what conditions their faith is and are they really believers, and they get this rather mixed multitude come in, and all of a sudden the things that everybody used to hold to is disappearing, right? And we only have a few things now that are important. The main thing is that we get lots of people in and keep as many of them as possible. That wasn't the priority here. This was, let's let him tell us who he is. And what did he say his original name was? Graceless, right? But then he found the what of God? The grace of God. And he's no longer graceless, he's Christian. He's got God's grace in his life. And he tells that story, and it's just pretty neat how we can, you know, the more we get acclimated to this story, the more we can pull scriptural principles out of it for conducting our own lives. Any other insights that you had, or questions, things that stood out to you? I encourage you to keep reading. Sometimes you have to read it over a couple of times. It's not in the type of English we speak, right? But it's nice to be challenged intellectually, isn't it? And stimulated a little bit that way. Father, we thank you for the resources you've provided to help guide us. Lord, help us to avail ourselves to them in Jesus' name. God bless.